Welcome to Food is Not a Four-Letter Word, the podcast where you ditch the diet drama, banish body shame, and reclaim your life, all while creating a body you love. When it comes to body drama, your host, Carmela Ramalia, has been there, done that, has the t-shirt, and wrote the books. And now, here's Carmela.
My friends, it's me, Carmela, from Happy Calories Don't Count. How are ya? It has been a while, hasn't it? This is episode number 34 of the Food is Not a Four-Letter Word podcast. And in case you haven't noticed, this podcast is not produced on any sort of regular timetable, no regular sort of cadence. And that is because the 5 steps of Happy Calories Don't Count do not change. The 5 steps are the 5 steps. The principles are the principles. They are tried and true, and they do not change. So unlike other shows where it's like, hey, what's the newest thing for losing weight? What's the newest thing we know about hormones? What's trending right now? What is a strategy to overcome this? Where they're constantly churning the machine to create new content, the principles remain the same. So once you have them, there isn't anything more to learn. There isn't anything new to learn. It's a matter of implementation. And on many, many episodes of this show, I have outlined the 5 steps of the Happy Calories Don't Count framework, and I will likely do it again in this episode. But I wanted you to understand that at a certain point, the episodes become about a masterclass. How do we take these principles and use them to facilitate healing and transformation? And I need inspiration for that to happen. So generally what'll happen is I'll have a conversation with somebody or I'll see a post on social media and then I'll think, hey, that is something I can comment on. This will make a good podcast episode. And sadly, those are few and far between, but I've got a show for you today that I really think will help you understand the power of the 5 steps and the principles, the framework of Happy Calories Don't Count, in how it can facilitate healing and transformation, take you from a state of pain, shame, drama, and despair around food, exercise, your body, and your weight into a place of grace, a place of freedom, a place of joy, where you can actually optimize your physical results eating food you enjoy. How is that possible? And not having any drama about going to the gym. You don't even have to go to the gym. You move your body in ways that feel good to you. And everything comes from a place of authentic congruency. Everything are things that you want to do. So there's nothing to rebel against, nothing to fight against, no drama. And those amazing results are sustainable. So that's what Happy Calories Don't Count is about. Now, before we go any further, I do need to have a medical disclaimer. I am not a medical professional, and I do not claim to diagnose or treat any medical or mental condition. That said, I do have a perspective. You know, all of this stuff is original content based on healing my own pain, shame, drama, and despair around food, exercise, my body, and my weight. And I've shared my story in many places throughout other podcast episodes, in the books, in my quick start class. So anytime you want to learn more about me, there are plenty of places to do that. I'm not going to do that in this particular show because it's going to be long enough as it is, all right? So we're just going to get on with it. The other disclaimer that I need to make is that I might get a bit snarky. I am an actress. I am Italian. I get on my high horse. I have a flair for the dramatic. But if I ever come across as snarky, I am never poking fun at or being mean about the person or the situation or the pain that they are in. It is always toward those mindsets, those cultural ideas, those frameworks, the things that keep people stuck in the pain. That's where the snark is directed if I start to go there. And, you know, I might. You never know. So let's get this show on the road with our three deep breaths. Please join me if you can. This is the fastest, most effective, and powerful tool I know of that just so quickly connects you to your body. And it just doesn't even take 30 seconds. So here we go. Take a deep breath in. And exhale. Another one, deep breath in. And out. Last one, all the way down to your toes if you can. Deep breath in. And exhale. All right, how do you feel? A little more grounded, centered, connected to your body, maybe? All right, so this episode is inspired by a post I saw on my Facebook feed. Now, I'm not in the habit of calling people out. That's just not my style, you know, and especially in the era that we're in, it's just not something I do. However, this post it garnered a lot of traction, and it also was shared publicly. So, you know, it's kind of fair game. But to respect the person's privacy and to respect the essence, to respect and honor the pain that is so clearly illustrated by this post, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read parts of it word for word. And then the other parts of it, I'm just going to talk about. So she basically says that. So that is why I'm addressing it in this fashion. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this entire post, and then I'm going to go through and discuss parts of it through the lens of Happy Calories, and to show you how the Happy Calories Don't Count perspective and the model can take what is going on in this post and transform it. And what's interesting is it's a novel. You know, when I saw it in my feed, there was the little click more button, and then it was scroll, 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 scroll. So to be able to present it here, I copied it and then I pasted it into Word so I could print it out. It's 3 pages long. And not only is it 3 pages long, but it had over 100 comments, probably at close to 100, you know, likes and hearts and all of that stuff. So this post got a lot of traction in the community, which in my world, what it shows me is that this is a topic that clearly carries a lot of pain, shame, drama, and dysfunction around it. And looking at the comments, I was inspired to do this podcast because no one is looking at it from this perspective. And from my point of view, everyone's going to stay stuck because they're churning. The Happy Calories Don't Count framework takes you from this state of drama to a state of freedom. It is a completely different model than the diet and exercise model. The diet and exercise model itself is the root of all of the dysfunction, because it's the diet and exercise model that suggests that you have to pay a price to eat. That's what creates all of the food crazies. And it's the diet and exercise model itself that suggests you control your body and your weight through diet and exercise. Therefore, if you're not the size or shape you want to be, it's your fault. And that's what creates the pain and the shame and the drama. So it is impossible to find peace and healing from within the context of the diet and exercise model. And that's what everybody on this post is doing. They're churning. They're trying to find solutions within the context of the diet and exercise model. To truly find peace and freedom, you have to change base models. And an analogy that I often like to give is like just trying to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic. So the Titanic is the diet and exercise model, and everybody's trying to figure out how to be okay in there. So they're striking up the band and they're rearranging the deck chairs, and nothing is going to work. I'm talking about getting you on a different ship altogether. Happy Calories Don't Count is a different vessel. It's a way to get you to the destination that you seek. All right. So with that out of the way, let's get going. So the headline is in all caps. So it's like the first thing I see in my feed is like this woman is screaming at me. And it says, is anyone wanting to lose weight and would like to join me in a weekly Zoom call to keep accountable, on track, share what's working, what's not, etc.? She says, I have always been curvy my entire life. And that's a nice way of saying that I weigh more than I'd like to or what is healthy. Except that now she looks back at photos of herself in high school in her early 20s and thinks, wow, I had a hot bod. And she always thought she was fat. Okay. I have a lot to say about that, but I'm going to keep going with this post. All right. Then she goes into this five paragraphs of full transparency about how she was taking a generic form of a weight loss drug, and it was super expensive, and it did work, but it didn't work fast enough. But it was her fault that it didn't work fast enough because of a long story. But she was so tired all the time on it, like dead tired. So she stopped taking it. And then after she stopped taking the drug, she gained all the weight back. And now she's done more research on it. And she finds out that if someone needs to take this drug, they're going to be taking it their whole life, just so that the weight doesn't come back. But then, oh, by the way, this isn't meant to shame anyone who is taking the drug, and the drug might be right for certain people. And that she's glad that these drugs are here to help people not be obese and to be able to get to a place where they can be fit and healthy. There's another side note I'm going to have about that. And then she goes on to say that, you know, that was her experience of it. And she knows a lot of people who are on this drug and it's worked wonders for them. And she's glad that it helps them feel so much better. But she was also a bit scared of it because of side effects. And we don't really know about side effects. And she talks about the history of Fen-Phen, you know, the miracle weight loss drug back in the 70s and 80s. And it turned out to be horrible. And then again, in caps, she knows, I know, that supposedly the best and only way to naturally lose weight is to eat more or only real foods, no processed foods, more fruits and veggies, lean meats, and to exercise and move regularly. And then again, in full caps, and it's so freaking hard. And after, during menopause, your body and your hormones change so much, it's even harder. And so I know I have not ever followed all of this advice. Eating clean, drinking lots of water, and daily exercise. So she is copping to the fact that she's never done what she thinks she's supposed to do. So now she's going to try. And she needs accountability. I need accountability and friends who are on the same journey to join me. She talks about having a huge wake-up call. Again, whenever I go huge or something like that, she's writing it in all caps. That she'll be at a certain age soon. And, you know, she ended up getting tendonitis and she doesn't want to be hobbling around the last 20 years of her life. She wants to lead a vibrant, active life. And so while she does want to look hot and pretty, now it's about the quality of life. The losing weight is about the quality of life, not about how she looks. Although she does still want to look hot, which is a fine thing, by the way. That there's nothing wrong with that. So then she goes on to talk about more about researching the weight loss drugs and that no one ever shames you for taking high blood pressure medicine. And she's screaming at this. This is all caps. But obesity is the only health issue that people are shamed for. No one shames you for getting cancer or MS or Parkinson's or et cetera. You get the idea. But if you don't lose weight the correct way, no processed foods, exercise, etc., you are shamed. You are shamed for being weak and lazy, etc. Now, did you remember what I said, you know, a couple of minutes ago about the diet and exercise model? We're going to come back to that. All right. Anyway, she digresses. And so now she's going to try to naturally lose weight because she gained back all the weight that she'd lost once she stopped taking the drug, and it doesn't feel good to be on the drug. And she is going to go talk to another doctor about hormone replacement therapy, which she hopes will not only help with weight loss, but, you know, with the other issues that she elucidates and then writes TMI. And then she talks about another friend who is turning 70, and she lost 60 pounds all on her own with her daily diet and exercise. And she credits this 5 miles a day she walks and the rowing machine and to getting in shape and keeping that weight off. So she's got a friend who's doing the diet and the exercise program, and she's walking 5 miles a day and doing that rowing machine every day. And man, that's the way to do it. And she's an inspiration. And so now she's following all sorts of people like that on social media. So this, she's going to fill her social media feed with more people who are quote unquote successful in the diet and exercise model to give her inspiration and to be positive role models. And then she goes on to talk about the things that she is currently doing to lead a healthier lifestyle and lose weight. So she's bought a book, the Anti-Inflammation Diet Cookbook. So she's doing more cooking and food planning. She bought a 64-ounce water bottle so she can be sure that she drinks her 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day. She's cutting out Diet Dr. Pepper. She's only had 2 since the beginning of May, and that's huge. And she's trying to find it disgusting so that she doesn't drink it. She bought a vibrating plate that she's going to tell us more about later, because there's a whole bunch of research that helps with it, that of all these benefits, one of which is weight loss. She started working out with weights, and she's telling us more about her workout. And she's going to be walking more once her tendinitis improves and her hip improves. And then she goes on to say, I've lost 1 stinking pound. So all of this work she's been doing in the diet and exercise model to get the results she wants, she's lost 1 stinking pound. And that patience is a virtue she does not have. It's so maddening. And so she's always constantly thinking about and worrying about her weight. And so then this is her call to action. So if you want to lose weight and you would like an accountability partner or partners, comment below, DM me, and we'll figure out which day each week and all check in with each other. Just like she said, she wants to feel better, to be able to walk, not be so tired anyway, all the time. And she needs help doing it. It's not all her. She says, this is the final word. I know it's all me. And stop making excuses and start doing these things to hopefully get there. Wow. All I can say is, wow, there is a lot to unpack there. And I did my best to pull out the main dysfunctional points in there while also maintaining a shred of privacy and dignity and not churn too much, but holy Hannah is all I can say. I mean, it took me 3 days to process this so that I could actually sit down and record a podcast. Well, and to be fair to me, I was having some tech issues, and then the dog wouldn't stop barking, things like that. I digress. But we're going to look at all of this from a Happy Calories perspective. Okay. So remember, Happy Calories Don't Count, in case I wasn't clear earlier in the intro and you haven't listened to a ton of these podcasts, if this is the first podcast you're listening to, Happy Calories Don't Count is a framework. It consists of 5 steps, and I'll go through them later, but it is a framework that takes you out of the diet and exercise model. The diet and exercise model is what creates all of this drama. The diet and exercise model is the Titanic. And so as she posts this, she's looking for help for other people to help her make the experience of the Titanic not so bad. And then in all of the comments and all of the suggestions that I don't have time to go through, everyone is, you know, offering sympathy, support, encouragement, camaraderie. Yeah, I'm there too. Oh, let's do this. Oh, I've read about this. Oh, I've done that. And they're all doing it from the Titanic. They're all doing it from within the context of the diet and exercise model. Happy Calories Don't Count is a completely different underlying base model. So it has different governing rules, and it creates a different experience for you as you journey towards your place of optimized health and well-being. So we're going to look at this through the lens of the Happy Calories Don't Count model. Now, there are 5 steps. Step 1 is called Embrace a Model of Alignment. Embrace a Model of Alignment simply means that your thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and actions are congruent with each other. And again, I've talked about this at length on other episodes, in my books, in my Quick Start program, available on my website, happycalories.com. There are pictures of it, I think, on my YouTube channel. I'm trying to keep this episode as short as I can with everything I need to talk about. So step one is embrace a model of alignment. The reason that we need step one is you need step one to stay out of the diet and exercise model. So I can tell you all day, every day, the diet and exercise model is flawed. The diet and exercise model is not sustainable. And I can give you a list of all of these reasons why you stay stuck within the context of the diet and exercise model. And I can just keep saying, don't think in those terms. But if I do not give you something else to think about instead, I'm not doing you any good. One, because your mind abhors a vacuum. So if I don't give you something else to think about and hold on to, you will just go back thinking in terms of diet and exercise. And number two, that is the thing that everyone else in the entire world is thinking about. They're promoting their products and services through the context of the diet and exercise model. We're having conversations, water cooler conversations, through the lens of the diet and exercise model. So if I don't give you something else to hang on to, you're just going to stay stuck. So embrace a model of alignment is the first step that gives you an alternative way of looking at things, an alternative explanation for your experiences that is different than the diet and exercise model. It's a bridge to help you get into that other ship. Step two is to connect with your body. Now, you need step one to get out of diet and exercise land so that you can connect with your body. Because your body is the source of all wisdom. But the diet and exercise model, by its very nature, demands that you disconnect from the wisdom of your body. Because you can't eat simply because you're hungry. You can only eat what and when that diet tells you that you can eat. You're only given so many calories to eat a day. And if you want to eat more than that daily allotment, then you have to pay the price. And we all know what that price is, right? It's exercise. Or it's weight gain, and you have to eat the right kind of foods. So you can't just eat what you feel inspired to eat. Every thought, every impulse is filtered through the lens of that diet and exercise model. So that's why we have to get rid of it so that then you can connect with your body. Your body is the source of all wisdom. It is a complex system of living intelligence that knows at each and every moment what it wants and needs to create that optimized state of health, vitality, well-being, beauty, and joy. If I had to distill Happy Calories Don't Count into a single step, it would be that. But that is the thing that no one can do because of the diet and exercise model. All right? Now, when you're connected to your body, guess what? Hey, you can enjoy your food. Because anything you want it to eat, you know it's an authentic impulse coming from the wisdom of your body. And so what's happening is you walk past the office lunchroom and there's a plate of cookies on the counter. And if you are inspired to eat a cookie, you eat a cookie and no muss, no fuss, because you know that your body would not inspire you to eat a cookie if it could really harm you. And then when you're not inspired to eat the cookie, you walk past the plate of cookies and you do not feel deprived. It's just you just didn't want it. You can trust the wisdom of your body. Step four is to exercise daily to connect with and tune your body. So exercise is important, but it's not about burning calories or losing weight. It's not even about being quote unquote healthy. Exercise is how you learn to connect with your body and to connect with your body through movement. We are physical beings living in a physical experience and our bodies need to move. And in the context of relationship, Happy Calories Don't Count is a relationship-based model versus the transaction-based model of diet and exercise. So in the context of relationship, daily exercise is like a date with your body. It's where you get to spend time with your body and get to feel what it feels like to be in your body. It's where you learn how to become embodied. And guess what? When you are embodied, you instinctively know what to eat, when to eat, how much to eat, all of that stuff, and everything you eat, choose to eat, will contribute to your optimized health, vitality, well-being, beauty, and joy because it is coming from the wisdom of your body. Step five is where the personal development comes into play. All of that personal growth that we all do to try to be successful on that diet. No, personal growth is important because it's important to, you know, better yourself, become a fully actualized human being, be the best self that you can be. And in the context of the Happy Calories Don't Count model, personal development is used to help you deal with life's challenges in such a way that the ups and downs of life do not interfere with the relationship that you have with your body. It's kind of like you have a bad day at work. You don't really want to go home and take your bad day and your bad mood out on your family during dinner. That's not going to give you a very happy home life. So you have a bad day at work, and then you use these skills and tools that you develop in your personal development quest. Whatever skill or tool you choose, there's an entire industry devoted to this. You use the ones that work for you, and then when you come home at dinner, you have a nice family experience. So you're using those skills and tools so that life's challenges do not interfere with the relationship that you have with your body. So it's super simple, 5 simple steps. But again, it's not always easy to implement given the constant bombardment of this diet and exercise model and how it's just in the collective consciousness in our psyches, which is why this is a perfect masterclass type example for a podcast. So now I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at her post through this lens of Happy Calories. All right. So is anyone wanting to lose weight and would like to join her in a weekly Zoom call to keep accountable? To keep accountable, I have a lot of conversations about this word, accountability. You know, if you look it up in the dictionary, there are a lot of different definitions, and it's something to do with responsibility goes through all of these different definitions. And this is one of the fundamental fallacies of the diet and exercise model. The diet and exercise model suggests that you control your weight through diet and exercise. And then, oh, if you don't, then there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with your motivation. There's something wrong with your intelligence, or there's something wrong with your hormones, right? There's something wrong with you. And while it is indeed true that you are responsible for what you eat and what you do for exercise, no one is making you eat the Twinkies. No one is making you eat the salad. No one is making you sit on the couch. No one is making you go to CrossFit. So while it is indeed true that you are responsible for what you eat and what you do for exercise, the fact that you are responsible for what you eat and what you do for exercise does not mean that you can therefore control your body, your weight, or your shape through diet and exercise. That is a fallacy. And that is the fallacy that lies at the heart of all of the pain, shame, drama, and dysfunction created by the diet and exercise model. And so this idea of accountability, that you need to show up and do something that is in opposition to your heart's desire, that you have to show up and you have to do something that is outside of the wisdom and guidance of your body. This idea of accountability, do you have to be accountable to breathe? Like, do you have to be accountable to any of the things that you do that you enjoy? Do you have to be accountable to that? There's a lot of psychological baggage around this idea accountability, especially when it comes to food and exercise and weight loss and fitness, because you're coming from within the context of the diet and exercise model, right? So then she goes on to talk about has never really felt good in or about her body. And I do know her. I do know her personally, but we've never gotten into any deep conversations like this. So there are a lot of things that I don't even know about. I would try to be mind reading if I were to try to guess about this. But in general, a lot of women don't feel great about their bodies, especially as teenagers, you know, as the bodies are changing, and especially within this context of this cultural societal idea that is promoted all the time through marketing, and it's exploded exponentially with social media. You know, this idea that everybody is now on social media capturing their best images and having great lighting, and aren't I living the great life, and it doesn't count if it's not posted. And we're all showing the best of ourselves. There is a lot of pressure so that you would feel uncomfortable about yourself, especially in a framework that is very austere, that says that you are in control, that you do these actions to get this result. And if you don't get this result, there's something wrong with you. And look, here there are these other people getting these results. So they must be disciplined and smart and motivated. But you clearly don't have those skills or those attributes because you don't look the way they do. So there's a lot of drama that gets created and perpetuated just through these underlying ideas, you know, and then to look at herself from pictures of her early 20s and think, wow, you know, I was beautiful. So, you know, this idea of weight, whether you're going by a number on the scale or whether you're going by a dress size, I hate to tell you this, you probably know it instinctually, but it doesn't mean anything, you know? So I encourage people to stay off the scale. It is never going to be the right number. The only legitimate reason I can think of in my mind to know how much you weigh, and again, not a medical doctor or professional, don't claim to diagnose or treat, but the only reason that I can see that would be of any benefit at all is if you needed to take some sort of medication. And the medication was dependent on your body mass, on how much you weighed, the dosage was dependent upon that. Aside from that, it is never, ever, ever going to be the right number. It is never, ever, ever going to be the right dress size, because you get to your magic number, you get to your magic dress size within the context of the diet and exercise model. And then it's like, oh my gosh, what did I do to get here? How do I stay here? What do I need to do? So instead of being an active war against your body, it's now a cold war. You know, how do I stay here? What do I do? And I can tell you from personal experience, in my adult life, I have been 80 pounds and I have been 200 pounds. And nowhere along that number line did I ever feel great in and about my body. And I know that there were parts along that pathway where I was definitely unhealthy. And I know that there are points along that number line where I was a smoking hot model, you know, and I never felt good and confident and safe in my body. It didn't matter what I weighed. It didn't matter what the dress size was until I got out of the diet and exercise model. All right. So now she goes on to this big 5-paragraph thing about the weight loss drugs, you know, and again, you know, the weight loss drugs are going to have to take their own episode. So, but I think that the ethos of this is that, you know, she's trying the diets, she's trying the exercise programs. She can't do them because later she says, I've never even really done it. I've never even really been able to stick to a diet or an exercise program and do all the things that I'm quote unquote supposed to do. So it's my fault. So I'm bad. So I can't do these diet and exercise programs. So I give up. I'm heavy. I don't know what else to do. So I'm going to take this weight loss drug. And then she has this really bad experience with the weight loss drug, but she can't blame or shame anyone else because just because this is her story doesn't mean that it doesn't work for other people. And so she wants to honor and respect other people, which is awesome and cool and fine. And that's what we all want to do, right? But then she goes on about how obesity is the only thing that people are shamed for. And she really goes on a diatribe about that. And at a certain point, it's like, yes to the casual, unenlightened observer, people are going to make judgments about other people's physiques if they are a judgmental type person, or just basic underlying assumptions, because everybody's operating from within the context of the diet and exercise model, right? So you see a certain size or shape and you make certain assumptions about it from the lens of the context of the diet and exercise model. And, you know, so she talks about the shaming that happens. At a certain point, it becomes self-shaming. You know, at a certain point, she has internalized the diet and exercise model and she is shaming herself. No one else is looking at her, you know, as heavy or whatever. It's like, oh, there she is. Hey, all right, whatever. And if there's a thought about it, it's a fleeting thought. No one cares. But she has internalized this. She is carrying around the shame, the weight, pun intended, the weight of the shame of the diet and exercise model with her. All right. And then she really liked that drug for a while because it took away all the crazy food thoughts. She was no longer constantly thinking about food and didn't think that she was a bad, lazy, disgusting person. You know, how many times have I said that already just on this episode alone? That comes from the diet and exercise model, from that idea that because you are responsible for, from the fallacy that because you are responsible for what you eat and what you do for exercise, that you can control it. And so therefore, if the outcome is not what you want or what society deems as acceptable, you're bad, you're lazy, you're stupid. So you cannot fix that within the context of the diet and exercise model. You have to change underlying base models for this stuff to get healed. All right. So then she goes on to do the next few episodes, the next few paragraphs about how she's finding inspirational role models to follow. Yay. I hope they help you. And if they're coming from within the context of the diet and exercise model, I doubt they will help you for long, particularly since you are carrying the weight of the self-shame yourself. Since she's internalized the self-shame, she's going to have a big hurdle to overcome to be successful doing that diet and exercise program that even if she is successful, it's not going to be sustainable. It's just going to spiral out of control. Just like how that weight loss drug was helpful for a while, but then once she went off it, it was awful. She's going to do those things. It's my prediction that, you know, it's just going to be another thing that didn't work, right? She talks about all the things that she did from within the context of the diet and exercise model, and she's only lost one stinking pound. Now, here is this interesting paradox type of thing, all right? So people want results, and I get it. You know, I want results. And I remember when I was, you know, really struggling with this and then in the dark nights of my soul and all of this kind of stuff. And people used to trot out these personal development and spiritual principles about like, you know, you need to change your state before you change the outcome of reality. So it's like you need to feel better about your body. And then your body will change. It's not like you're going to feel better about your body when you lose the 10 pounds. Can't you start feeling better about your body now? And then, hey, you turn around one day and the 10 pounds is gone, you know? And then I'm like, you're just trying to trick me. You're just trying to make it so that I don't care whether or not I lose that 10 pounds, you know? So I totally get that perspective. And Happy Calories is not about trying to, you know, do smoke and mirrors or trick anybody at all. You want a result because you believe that result is going to make you happy. And you know what? I believe you. So I'm not one of those people that is going to say, like, you tell me, hey, I want to lose 20 pounds because I think losing that 20 pounds is going to make me happy. I'm not going to be one of those people that says, oh, well, is losing that 10 pounds really going to make you happy? Is there something else motivating this, perhaps a self-worth issue or a self-esteem issue? And if we can address that, you know, are you sure it's not just about those 20 pounds? If you tell me you want to lose 20 pounds because you think it's going to make you happy, I believe you. I don't have an issue with that. Yay. What I do know is that you want to lose those 20 pounds because you think losing those 20 pounds is going to make you happy. Your actual goal is happiness. So you can lose the 20 pounds and still not be happy. And I'll go further than that. If you are attempting to lose 20 pounds to be happy, but the vehicle is a diet and exercise program which is making you miserable the entire time, you are never going to get what you ultimately want, which is happiness. And that's all coming from within the context of the diet and exercise model. And so by changing fundamental based models into the happy calories don't count approach, you not only get happiness, you also get those results that you want. You get the body results come, and the joy, the peace that you were really after, that comes. Now, there is this interesting paradox about metrics, you know? So it's, and especially in the world we live in today, and especially in the Seattle area with Amazon and Microsoft, and everything's tech-driven and data-driven analysis and decisions and, you know, all of this stuff. And so everybody's looking at data, and they've got their fancy little Apple Watches and their smartphones and their health apps and this and that, and tracking calories and burning sleep REMs and VO2 max and how much did you burn during your workout and all that kind of stuff. And you're looking at all of that. Well, one, that's just information, and it's information that is disconnecting you from the wisdom of your body. But the other thing is that when you are looking at the metrics, by definition, that's taking you out of the space of grace and of peace. You know, it's like the idea that a watched pot never boils. So if you're in this state of grace and peace, and then you go get on the scale, well, then what happens is that, oh, you either aren't the size you want to be, or the number's not the right number, because remember, it's never going to be the right number. The number's not the right number. And so then that takes you out of that space of grace, because now you're upset and frustrated and disappointed. Or it is a good number, and then you really have to make sure you buckle down and really keep on the track and doing what you're doing, which by definition also takes you out of that place of state and a state of grace. And the interesting thing is, you know, time flies when you're having fun. And so when you are in a place of congruency, of alignment, when you're following the wisdom of your body, the results come, and you do feel confident in your body, and you do feel like you're looking great and looking awesome, but they seem to come overnight, because you're not constantly measuring and tracking and then berating yourself for not having that end goal, because you can't control your body through diet and exercise. You're responsible, but you can't control the outcome. It's your body that is responsible for the outcome, that source of divine intelligence. And so by partnering with that and following it, that guidance, that wisdom, that's the thing that's going to lead you to make the choices that are the most effective, most joyous, most congruent for you. And so she says, you know, she knows it's all her. She needs to stop making excuses and start doing those things. It's like she needs help doing it. It's all her. And again, it is all her, but it's the diet and exercise model that's keeping her stuck. And so my invitation to her would be that if she could step outside of the diet and exercise model. You know, and it is a little frustrating, because I do know this person, and she does know what I do. And I'm just sitting here on the sidelines, and I know the tremendous change that could await her if she could, you know, somehow make that switch. And so instead, I give the invitation to you, you know. If you can relate to anything that's been said in this post, if anything that I've commented on from a Happy Calories perspective has piqued your curiosity, and you've said, wow, I've never thought of things like that, or no, you're right, it does always keep me stuck like this, there is a way out. There is a place to find the freedom that you seek, where you are not thinking about food all day, every day. You know, it's a no-brainer. It comes, it goes, whatever. You are free from food and exercise. They are non-issues. You get to eat the food that you enjoy. You get to move your body the way that you want to move. You get to feel good in your body, about your body. And the results just come. If that sounds good to you, then I encourage you to come talk to me. You know, come find me, come hang out in Happy Calories world. You can find me at happycalories.com, at happycaloriesdontcount.com. My books are on Amazon. You can reach out via email. There are so many ways to get support. You can follow me on social media. So I would really encourage you to use the 5 steps of the Happy Calories Don't Count framework to get off the Titanic and onto a different ship that will take you to the places that you want to go. So until next time, I hope you have a super happy day. Be well and be happy. If you enjoyed this program, help it out. Give it a like, subscribe, follow, share. You know the drill. If you want to learn more about me, my books, programs, and services, visit my website, CarmelaRamalia.com. And don't worry, if you can't spell my name, you can also always find me at HappyCalories.com. Take care.